Hi, my name's Luke, and you're listening to episode number 8 of the Freemasons Queensland podcast, and I'm here today with Graham.
Hi, Luke. How are you?
Good, thank you, Graham. And today we're going to be covering a topic we haven't covered in specific detail like we're going to do today, and that is, I guess, doing some of our own myth-busting around some of the myths associated with Freemasonry. We've got an FAQ on our website for those that have found our podcast. You could probably find the website, and this is somewhat similar to that. So we're going to go through some individual topics that we feel as Masons misrepresent what we do and who we are. So we're going to start, I guess, with the first one, Graham, and you're probably pestered with this quite a bit, actually, is Freemasonry a secret society?
Yes, Luke. Well, I get this one a lot as the Deputy Grand Secretary of Freemasons Queensland, especially when I'm taking people on a tour through the building. And no, it's not a secret society. It's a society with some secrets. We used to be very discreet about our activities, but times have changed, and these days Freemasons talk quite openly about their activities, and their lodge rooms are quite open to people to come and have a look at. However, some parts of our ceremonies, I guess, and some of our traditions, such as the handshake that Freemasons use to identify one another.
I'm not going to tell them about that, Graham.
That's still private, but, but for people want to have a look at a Masonic lodge, they can come and have a look at a Masonic lodge.
Oh, excellent. One of the things I personally found, I lived in Europe for about 4 years, and I found that most of the lodges there don't have their square and compass out the front, and a lot of people assume then we must be doing things in secret, largely related to the Second World War. People after that didn't think it was a good idea to put their square and compass out the front, like a lot of churches don't put their symbols out the front in Europe.
I've heard that over there, but in Australia we've always done that. In Queensland we've always done it. There's always been, if you travel through throughout Queensland and see the 106 Masonic buildings throughout Queensland and Papua New Guinea, they're all publicly identified. They'll all have the square and compasses hanging from the building like ours does here in 311 Ann Street, and quite often they'll have the name of the lodge, or if it's a geographic location in a specific town, they'll say, like, Mitchell Masonic Lodge, or, you know.
So that, yeah, and you can also find their locations on the website as well, so it's not like we're hiding where we meet and what we do.
And a lot of those buildings are used by community groups hours, you know, for school, for dancing or for music lessons or for things like that. So lodges hire out their buildings to community groups as well.
It's one of those things, I guess, that over time hopefully will kind of dispel that myth as more people interact with us and with what we do here. Mm. Walking on to the second myth, that this is a kind of a myth that I like to tiptoe around a bit, as I know a lot of Catholics and have a lot of friends that are Catholics, and that is Freemasons don't like Catholics, and vice versa. I find that rather a bit of a sad indictment that anybody would think that's even the case, but
Freemasonry actually welcomes men from all religions and all denominations, no matter what faith or creed you have, including Catholics, Christians, Jews, Sikhs, Buddhists, Muslims. You have a belief in a supreme being, you're very welcome in Freemasonry. I think the Roman Catholic Church has at times discouraged its members from becoming Freemasons, but that's something that that they need to deal with. And but we're a welcoming fraternity if men want to join. And there, like you said, there are lots of Catholics in Freemasonry, and
Certainly are. The one thing I find fascinating about that myth too is I've travelled a lot through Italy, and I've actually noticed a lot of Masonic symbolism within Catholic buildings. And my feeling is personally, and it's only my opinion, is that it depends on who the Pope is and perhaps his advisors as to whether or not they're actively for or against Masonry. And there's really evident throughout our signs and symbols throughout many of the basilicas in Rome especially. Mm-hmm. So I found that really surprising. I was visiting one and my wife noticed me looking up at the roof in a very longing gaze. Why are you looking at the roof, Luke? I said, I'm somewhat confused by it. I wasn't sure if this is a Masonic temple or a Catholic church, or one in particular I'm thinking about. So certainly I don't see how that myth is true, but a lot of people come into our building and ask that question.
And I think a lot of Queensland's history, Australia's history, a lot of that is based culturally. 30 years ago, 50 years ago, there were some lines like that in the community, and sure. I guess Freemasonry reflects the community, so, you know, who knows what's happening.
I was once put by a senior public servant. Actually, I think the person that I heard was Father Bolabum on the Triple J. Once comment that in the 50s, you either had two choices in the public service, you're a Catholic or a Mason, and, yeah, I kind of don't see how that's really relevant today. It's not quite like that. Many of our members are Catholics and vice versa, so... Mm. I think that's one of the myths that we can sort of say is busted and dead and buried. Working on to the next myth, we're talking about Freemasons being sexist as we don't allow women to become members. Do you get a lot of inquiries by women asking either for themselves or on their partner's behalf about what we do? And
I think it's not as big an issue as it may have been once. Like, we don't go and join Fernwood Gym or we don't join the CWA, so it's not strictly on those sexist lines. We Freemasons as a group certainly aren't anti-women. We honour women. We love women to be at our banquets and things when we are in lodge. There are lots of community associations and groups which are only open to men or women, and women are involved in a lot of our activities in Freemasonry and join the Order of the Eastern Star, the Order of the Amaranth, or youth orders in Freemasonry as well.
Like Job's Daughters, I think, and the Rainbow Girls as well.
Yeah, so it's not that we're, anti-women or anything like that.
But we do have to be upfront. We are a men's-focused organisation, so...
Yeah, we are a fraternity, and that's what we've always been. Who knows where we'll be in 100 years' time or 200 years' time, but in this case, we're a fraternity, and that's what where all our rituals are based and how men live together on building sites, you know, back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's one of those things that the growing involvement of women in different aspects of what we do here. One of the other myths that I get asked a lot, particularly by my family, is are we somewhat like the stonecutters that you see in the in The Simpsons? And I actually quite like that episode. I sort of look at it in an endearing way. The only thing I don't think is real is we don't actually have a rock of shame.
No.
And we don't certainly get tied to it if that's the case.
And we don't have paddles and we don't have, we don't have as much power as they have in the song.
No.
I really don't believe that.
It would be good if I could call 00 and 1 and get a special, like, 000 number like they did in The Simpsons or a faster lane in the traffic, but it doesn't work that way.
Who's going to win the Oscars? And, you know.
Steve Guttenberg. The other thing about that sort of myth is that clearly some of the people involved in The Simpsons are also involved in Masonry because there are so many commonalities between the episode and what we do. It's not funny. The one thing I think is funny about it is it's sort of no order of importance. So the earlier you join doesn't mean you're suddenly elevated amongst the higher ranks of the Masons, which is what one of the parts of the Stonecutters episode implies. But if you haven't seen it, it's worth watching.
Yeah, and the thing that jumped out at me from that episode is that Every male member of the Simpsons show is a stonecutter, and that's very symbolic of what Freemasonry is that it's from a lot of different walks of life, aren't we? You know, we're from all different walks of life, all different parts of the community are all represented in Freemasonry.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think we'd all like to know a little bit more how that episode got written and who wrote it. I guess onto our last myth for this particular episode, we're doing this as two different parts, is Freemasons wear weird clothing. Unless we're talking about a suit being weird, I kind of don't see what else is part of what we wear.
Well, we do wear an apron, don't we?
An apron, yeah.
We wear an apron, which is, regalia, I guess, is historic and it's symbolic and it's part of what Freemasonry has been. Like back in the day when we were builders and working with stone and timber and, you know, to protect ourselves, we would have worn a big leather apron. So our apron these days is like a uniform or the regalia indicates the rank of the Mason wearing that in the organisation. So, I guess it's to do with that, the regalia.
In some ways, I was a Boy Scout, and I think it's quite similar to wearing a scarf and a woggle. You know, I've never since being a Boy Scout bothered to put on a scarf since I left. So I imagine that the apron is somewhat similar for us as members of the Masonic fraternity, is that it's something that we wear. Very rarely is it worn in public as well. I think there's only one event per year in most capital cities where that would be usually a War Remembrance Day or something along the lines of that. And permission is explicitly sought by us in order to, from our the higher-ups, for want of a better expression, to actually wear those. You have to get permission to do that. It's meaningful, and it's more than just something that you can parade around in fancy dress, that's for sure. So I guess that wraps up five of the myths that we wanted to cover today. None of these myths are particularly shocking, except for the fact that they're still perpetrated in my mind. It's one of those things that I thought it's 2012 that a lot of people would have had access to the information that we're talking about. But if you don't, here we go. And for those who are Masons and get asked these questions themselves, have a look at the FAQ. There's some really good answers to questions you might be commonly asked as a Mason about what we do and who we are.
Thanks, Luke.
So until next time, my name's Luke, and stay on the level.